Okay, would you just introduce yourself?
Right into the hot seat down there. Yeah.
These are the pass around.
What happened to Marble?
That goes with the noble one.
I know you are, this is your first year here.
It is. So I've got my backup, you know, Lynn. Lynn Sports Tuesdale is here as well. I'm Barbara. I'm the new library director for Kenosha Public Library and for the Kenosha County Library System. As you know, we are a unique system in that we don't have any system staff or the Kenosha Public Library access a resource library. So it's an extremely efficient system in comparison to the other libraries that have dedicated buildings and those things for the system. So the Kenosha County Library System consists of the Kenosha Public Library and community libraries, and it's a one-county system. So our the Chapter 43 of the statutes call for library systems to support public libraries in the state. We provide technology assistance, interlibrary loan delivery, and reimburse libraries for use by citizens who don't pay to the libraries. So for instance, Pleasant Prairie does not have their own library, and so they pay a county tax instead. And then that money is funneled into to our budget to pay for that. So there are communities that pay directly to community libraries, and of course Kenosha City residents pay for Kenosha Public Library. And then the Kenosha County Library System reimburses both community libraries and Kenosha Public Library for use by non-residents. So that's how our budget is put together, some technology and land and WAN and all that, all communications. For the 2015 budget, we are asking for a very, very small increase of 0.1% to cover more of our digital resources and to provide for some upgrades to our system, to our software and hardware.
Jeff?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Questions, discussion from anyone? No discussion? No. All right, seeing none. Eric?
Just one question. You don't have any payroll at all at the library?
No. Okay. The Kenosha Public Library provides all that, all the staff support for the system.
Yeah, we could.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye. Good. Thank you. All right, we'll move on then to the human services budget. And that begins at page 189.
Hi, Lori.
He's going to do a 78 out of 33 speed.
Jen's passing out our third quarter report. We always do that here first during our budget hearings. And then we'll pass out a supplemental booklet.
Lori, who is this?
John Jansen.
Thank you.
He's the director.
I recognize the name.
He gets all the time.
He's my sidekick. The only time we're ever seen
together. He's good at passing out literature.
Thank you. Okay, so you can see on the page that it, because this is mid-October, we only have through August, or we have just the medical examiners through September 30th. So that's the latest information that we have.
Can you get the book catalog? Well, can you get the book catalog? I had it yesterday. And I can't get it to come.
Oh. Did you have a question? Okay, so for aging and disability services, they are showing
a surplus of levy of $160,000, and when I get to their department, I'll show you where that's coming from through the budget process. In Children and Family Services, we're showing an increase in out-of-home placements, and when I get there to that division, I'll show you why, too. Health is still remaining with a levy surplus, and vets, workforce development is breaking even at this point. Brookside is showing approximately $425,000 surplus, and that is on top of the $785,000 that's already in their budget to be returned. Remember, that's not levy, it's operating revenues being returned. So even without, if I take Brookside out of the equation, the rest of the divisions, we're still giving back about $80,000. We're on schedule for that for the 12th, December 31st. So now, so this is supplemental information. We do this every year for you, but on each page has page numbers for each line associated with the supplemental information, and that does pertain to your budget book. So if you are looking for your budget book, you'll find extra detail listed in this. So I usually... So for human services, we start always with an overview. So you'll see a pie chart, and you'll see a total for our department. So from the 14 adopted to the 15 proposed. We are showing a 31.6% increase in expenses, and revenue up 8.75%. Bonding is up because of the capital project for Brookside of $18.2 million. And our levy increase is 1.6%. When I get to the internal service fund, last year we had used the excess cash, or 2014, we used our excess cash in the internal service fund of approximately $200,000 to help with the levy this year. We don't need that for 2015, so we're giving it back. So if you take that $200,000 out of the levy, we're kind of breaking even. It's only about $5,000 that we're asking for an increase in levy. And you can see on the...
Can you explain what you said before? The 31% increase, I mean, that's a very large increase. What is that attributable?
Well, 18.2 of that is the project for Brookside.
Right, and the balance?
And the balance, you'll see we have a lot of grants and increases that through each division. But 18.2, so the remainder is approximately 5,000, or 5 million, excuse me, and that's with grants. And we have a 2.7 increase for the Racine portion of the Income Maintenance Consortium that we had to put in. So we're only about $2 million up.
And then you mentioned the 205 was actually 5,000?
It's actually 5,000, because 200 of that is that we had used 200,000 from our internal service fund in 2014, which is really excess cash, but it was reported under the levy line, and we are giving that back. So
it is in 1.6?
No, so it's 5,762. It's pretty much a break even.
Oh, okay. Right. So this is a typo, or this is just...
No, it's not a typo. It's just the way that it's reported to the internal service fund. So the pie chart on the bottom shows altogether we have just under $80 million of funding sources. And ranked in order, we still are showing more federal and state revenues, which is approximately almost three-fourths of our funding comes from federal and state revenues. I have them ranked in order. Our levy is the next. Other is 9.7%, and our grants have gone up from 14% in 2015 to 2.5% of the total. So human services, there's a lot of detail to these pages. What I'll do is I will highlight the larger items, but if you see something that you need more clarification, please just let me know and I will stop and explain. So for the Office of the Director, you'll see that their FTEs went from 8 to 4, and there's about three other divisions that this will happen with. And all it is a budget neutral change for all the fiscal staff and fiscal contracted services within the department. We are now being reported under the Department of Finance and Administration. We're still working in human services, it's just that we're now being, those FTEs and those costs are being reported under the Department of Finance and Administration, so that it's a budget neutral change. And then the only other thing that, and altogether for expenditures for Office of the Director is up $86,693, but to cover that is the next page. And it shows our revenue sources. And they're up just about even, the same. We were short $157 for a levy. So those funding sources there, WIA, FSET, income maintenance, child support, those are all funding allocations that are within our other divisions, and the Office of the Director supports all the other divisions within our department. So when we support those, we actually can be allocated our costs to some of those fundings, and we can draw down this revenue associated. So pretty much, the Office of the Director is breaking the law. The next division is Central Services. And Central Services we developed because it takes care of everything within the Human Services Job Center building with all our divisions and all our job center partners. So it handles all of the office machinery, which is copiers, faxes, it handles office supplies, it handles mailroom distribution, it handles the people who come and go, changing the telephones, IT equipment and everything. So it's kind of a centralized service for everybody at the job center. And then in 2014, we added the county mail services. So there is the expenses associated with the job center are all covered by either division rents or rents that are charged with our job center partners. So there's no levy in that portion. However, the only levy in this comes for our county mail services. So the very first section is just our rents for our divisions within the job center. And the next page has the county mail services listed. One of the larger items for this is a $27,000 expenditure under capital outlay, and it is to replace our postage meter machine. That machine is no longer supported by maintenance agreements. It's over 10 years old, so we have to exchange it out and purchase a new one. But it's more than 10 years old, so it's probably about time. So that's what the portion of that, and it's covered by the machine. For workforce development, that one starts with an FTE change of an additional 3.0 of economic support specialists. And in 13 and 14, we started with the Affordable Care Act implementation, and we had gotten a lot of federal dollars to help with the increased caseload that everybody sign up for the affordable care that is offered. So we worked with temporary. We had maybe about 9 to 10 at the most attempts at that point. And now that at the end of 14, we should be through with the implementation period. And with the rise in cases, which was a little bit more than 2,000 that we think will steady now, we need three economic support specialists to cover that. But you will see on the very line in three, where it says a decrease temp salaries for ACA implementation, we are taking a decrease of $248,000 for those temp salaries, and that's what's actually paying for the three economic support specialists.
So, can I ask, Lori, you're up here almost $2 million. Where's that attributable, and is this levy money or not?
On the expenses, you mean?
Yeah, it says $1.7 million.
Right. So if I can have you go down to line 7, where it shows under purchase services program, there's a very large $2.7 million figure there. No. We are in a consortium with Racine County now, and we have become the fiscal agent for this consortium. So we are now putting a line item for their expenses. It is offset by revenue on the next page for the exact amount. So it's just the large amount there is for Racine's expenditures for the income maintenance program.
So what does this actually cost us?
And this one, we're probably about They're probably about the same. I think we're like at 1 point, just under 2 million.
So is this levy money here?
No, no. No, we get PPACA money, we get the Affordable Care Act money, we're still getting that, and we actually got an increase a little bit for next year, for 2015. So you'll see that same large amount on the next page under the revenues, that maybe about mid-page where it says income maintenance revenue, that 2.7, so it does offset it. We are getting more WIA money because of the special grants that are happening within our county. So again, those costs are offsetting. That's about $262,000 more that we're getting for WIA. And then you'll see this loss of FSEP program. So for the food stamp employment and training program, we actually, as of July 1st, we lost that program from the state through an RFP, and the state awarded it to a private entity. Fortunately for us, they took the same amount of space in our job center building, so we were able to charge the rent to them, and so that there's a decrease in DWID's rent, but our new partner now in the job center is actually paying the rent to be there. They're running the FSEP program. And they're the same ones that are running the W-2 program for us. So with all of that, there is a levy decrease.
Yes.
And economic support, looks like you added employees, or is that?
Three.
Yeah.
Three economic support specialists.
And you had them, some of them must have got upgraded or something?
There's a new beginning economic support position in their calls, so that's why you'll see three down there, and it's a new position that we started.
You got federal funding to do that with?
Yes. Yes.
So is there any county contribution on these three new employees?
No.
Not. So
not
do those terminate
upon inclusion? If we cannot find alternate funding, yes. And it's really for the caseload at this point. I mean, you can see DWID is giving back $160,000 in levy. There's a reduction for their levy because they're getting the extra funding for this.
And that is that part of the budget that they terminate? Or are these
brand new? It's always. Whenever our... These are going to be permanent positions, and the funding will still come through. And if we can't find alternate funding, we usually, like within the Department of Human Services, some divisions might be down in levy, some divisions might be up. And as long as the caseload is as high as it is for income maintenance, we will need those three economic support specialists.
But they do terminate if
we can't find funding for them. Yes.
I mean, funding other than county levy money.
Yeah, or if you don't agree with it during our budget process for that particular year, but we still have funding for the next 2 years.
Any other discussion?
The next one is veterans. It's just a one-pager. They have only had $13,000 revenue for state aid for like forever. That never goes up. So if there's any increases in their budget, it is funded by levy. So for this particular, there's personnel increases. There's no change in FTEs. So it's $7,798 with their bottom levy is going. And keep in mind, I mean, we look at our department as one levy amount. So if some divisions need it more, some divisions are giving it back. And we are, for 2015, just asking for the net $5,000 for additional levy. So out of $80 million, that's
I'll try to sugarcoat it.
Pardon me?
Don't try to sugarcoat it. We're looking at everything here.
You weren't supposed to notice that.
Hey, I'm paying attention.
All right.
Here comes the fun one.
Any other discussion here?
Medical examiner is next. We give you these statistics on a quarterly basis. So the first chart tells us that through September 30th, we have done approximately 129 autopsies. We usually see a rise like this in the summer months, the July, August, and September, that third quarter, more people are out and about. So,
more people what?
Are out and about, and driving vehicles, and enjoying that stuff.
Do we budget for?
160.
How many?
160.
160.
Yeah. The next page shows all those autopsies broken down by manner of death. So it's a chart. The accidental group, and we are the fifth bar on the right, the light blue color in every single one of these slots is the current year-to-date, 2014, and that's just through September 30th, okay? The rest are all compared to total year, total 12 months. So that first section is accidental, and we always break down the accidental into three areas, motor vehicle, drug overdose, and then any other. So you can see the red bars are our drug overdose, and you saw that in 2012 and 13, you know, we were at 40 all year long, and through September 30th, we're already at 32. So we don't see a huge decline, although everybody's working with law enforcement and other community agencies to try to be of help. The medical examiner's office is working with everybody in the community.
Are we paying the same amount for all time?
For autopsies? Yes, you'll see on the you'll see in the next page that what happens is we've been with Milwaukee County for about 3+ years, and when they started, it's a $1,200 per autopsy rate. And so, and it's an all-inclusive, so whether they need an x-ray, anybody needs an x-ray, whether it needs a blood test or any other specialized testing, it's a $1,200 flat fee. So they said, you know, our costs are really rising. So for 2015, they've given us an increase of $200 per body. So it would be a $1,400, but it's still an all-inclusive mm-hmm. rate. And they haven't increased that for, like, 3.5 years. So
is that the jump I see in pathology fees
in yes,
my budget?
Yes, it's 160 autopsies times $200. Because we're leaving it at 160.
Okay. So it goes 192 to 224.
It's $32,000.
Right. Yep. $32,000. I got that.
Lori, and I guess I'd never realized this until I read an article in the newspaper in a particular case, that when Milwaukee County is asked to do an autopsy, they determine the manner of death, but they don't determine cause of death.
Yeah, I read that too.
And that came as a surprise because in the event testimony is required in court, that means that we're going to hire somebody else if that's necessary. Perhaps the local assistant, the deputy examiner, that's what the paper said, would determine cause of death, but not always.
That's correct. The autopsy throughout the country always determine manner. The local office determines the cause if they have enough pieces of that puzzle to determine it. So our ME office here locally, as a charge, investigates the scene and comes up with the cause by looking at what the manner is through the reports they get from the law.
I'd be interested in knowing because this affects cost.
That's standard procedure in the ME.
Well, it may be standard, but are there times when cause of death is determined by somebody that the county needs to hire? I have no problem with locally doing that. That's fine. I want to know whether or not they are hiring people to determine cause of death, thus paying two experts for the job of one.
Well, I think you know there's times the district attorney's office
well,
doesn't
necessarily... Can you find that out, though, rather than speculating?
I don't know. That's... If it's in the DA's budget or whose budget?
We don't. It is, it's not in this budget.
Yeah.
But you're the medical examiners.
Correct. We don't pay for that, though. If the DA is not happy with what he is reading or she is reading in a report, they will then go out and find an expert witness.
I still think we would like to know that fact, because when we discuss this issue of a local medical examiner versus a contract, that's a factor that wasn't, you know, discussed, and maybe there isn't an extra cost, but I'd be interested in knowing.
I don't think there's an extra cost.
There's somebody over here making some comments. Al, Jenny, do you have something to add to this?
There's been no change in procedure. This has always been the procedure.
Well, I'm not suggesting there is a change.
The medical examiner determines cause, and as John points out, the medical examiner's office has not budgeted nor hired outside experts to determine cause, if that's your question.
No. My question is, in the county budget, be it somebody else's budget or this budget, is there somebody else that's hired? and paid to determine cause of death? Other than your local? No, never?
Only if the district attorney hires an expert.
That's what I'd like to know. Is there somebody else that is paid for cause of death determination?
There has been, yes.
Okay, how much is that?
It varies on case by case.
Yeah, how much is it in 2014, for example? How much? You don't have to answer it now, but I'd be interested to know how many times and how much.
I'll look at it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, so you will see that their FTE increased 1.9. 1.0 is for a full-time deputy. This person, because of the caseload increase, will work second shift, so they'll take, you know, midday to late evening, Monday through Friday. They'll also cover the nights that, for some reason, part-time deputies aren't available, and then they will also help to transport the bodies during the day to Milwaukee County for the specific autopsy. The point nine is we had to adjust for 24/7 coverage using our part-time deputies, and so we were short when we looked at all the hours there are in a year, and so we added it. But however, our full-time staff covers a lot of that, so if they cover it and the part-time deputies are not needed, we won't be using that budget. So, but I have to budget for 24/7 coverage outside of the actual
Aaron.
How are we the one thing I'm questioning is how are we managing it now? So it seems like the, you know, we're still budgeting 150 deaths. The deaths are relatively the same. It seems like a big increase.
That's just autopsies. There's a lot more deaths that occur either naturally, and we have a lot of cremations now. There's been a big increase, and I think it's an economic impact where people aren't using the funeral services. They're just being cremated. And whether that person is cremated or not, they still, our deputies, our full-time deputies, have to go through an investigation on the body and actually document a lot more. So that's how the caseload, but we have more. That's just autopsies that we're reporting. The number of deaths is a lot more. And then the only other thing for the medical examiner is we have a van that we have been leasing, and it's a very specialized van. Obviously, we have a lot of equipment and things that are built into the back of the van for the transport of the bodies. And that van now is up on December of this year. So we can purchase it, so we have a negative under line six for us for equipment lease and rental. So our van lease payments are going away of $6,228, which is offsetting the 2010 van purchase in line seven of $12,006. So it's costing us about $6,000 to buy that van out. So, and that's what's also included in the budget. The next page talks about our medical examiner fees that we do charge. The yellow highlights are the ones that we are proposing to increase for next year. The signing of the death certificates, the removal of the scene, of the body from the scene, and our cremation permits and the tissue collection. We do this every year, is we look at the surrounding southeastern counties and what they're charging, and we're kind of like right in the middle of the pack or a little high, you know, or closer to the top. So we're keeping up with the rates of the other medical examiner and or coroner offices. And the tissue collection is just that. It's that we don't do anything with that. They have a tissue bank that comes out and uses our morgue for the tissue collection. And they do all the cleaning and everything. We don't do that. So then the next page shows that increase in revenue of $58,250. So all in all, this particular division does need more county levy of
$62,468.
Jeff? We alluded to more deaths, and you said there's a lot more. Where do I see that in here?
I can send you that tomorrow morning. That I don't have the exact, but we have total deaths within the county. And I'm trying to think of 2013.
Because I'm looking at the number of deaths investigated.
For natural deaths.
Right, right. And you're telling me there's much more, and that's what we're using to justify the two more bodies.
Two more employees.
Well, 1.9.
But the 0.9 are just part-time deputy hours filling the 24/7 coverage.
Right, but we may use them.
Yes, we may or may
right.
not use them.
So there's 1.9. And we're using the number to justify that as the overall deaths.
Yes, and it's the scene investigations, and it's to cover 24/7. So, but he will also be transporting this person, I shouldn't say he or she, I don't know, will also be transporting bodies during the week up to Milwaukee, which we were using transport hours. We saved, this position is net of $20,000 savings between transport and part-time deputy coverage during the week.
The 0.9 person, you mean?
The what?
The 0.9?
No, the 1.0.
The 1.0?
Yeah.
So you're telling me after you add up all the costs for the 1.0, we're saving $20,000?
Yeah, it's offset by $20,000 savings in transport hours and in part-time deputies at the evening during the week.
I'd like that those numbers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you provide that to all of you?
Sure.
We're not meeting until Monday again. So.
Okay. Well, that's only $20,000.
Okay. And you want the number of deaths? Yep. All right. The next one is health. And health's FTEs went up significantly, 8.4. However, in the book you'll see 8.6 of those is all that were added during 2014, and they're all grant funded. There's no levy associated with those FTEs. Health has has gotten significant more grant money to do some of their programs, and so this is where those FTEs are working on. And then in 2015, all we're proposing is to decrease the epidemiologist hours up just a 0.2 less. So instead of a full time, that person will be working 0.8. And there's no decrease in services that that's providing. It's being worked out in the lab. Under number 4, under office machinery equipment maintenance, there's a $11,460 we're adding preventive maintenance agreements. A lot of our lab and clinical equipment now has gone off warranty. It's been 4 years and they're off warranty. So they're very expensive pieces of equipment, so we're purchasing preventive maintenance agreements for them. Under supplies, the majority of all those increases are grant funded. And they're so noted, each line item, whether it's grant funded or not. The next page under 7, grants and contribution changes. We have the HUD lead hazard control. We have the WIC program going up. We have those services that are increasing for funding in 2015. Revenues start on the bottom, and they go all the way to the next page, and you can see the increases in all of the grants. The largest increase is for the Nurse Family Partnership Program. We got an extension on the expansion of that grant, and that was $600,000 more, so that's the largest increase. And a lot of that grant is funding those 8 positions that were hired during the year. And the city contribution is increasing $65,749. For those who don't know, in 1998, we combined our city health department and our county health department, and we supply all the services out of the job center, and then who we serve, we track by zip code or address throughout the year, and then costs are allocated based upon whether they're a city resident or just a county resident. Well, in 2013, because this is based on 2013's actuals, we actually served more city residents, a little bit more than 3% more. So that's why their funding then in 2015, their calculation is going up to $65,746.
Lori, for 2014, are they paid up in full?
Never mind, Dave, that's what I was going to ask.
Absolutely. Nobody's behind them.
Absolutely.
They're happy.
I ask that every quarter. Yes, no, we're good to go. They've been through. The next page has their fee schedules. The next page has...
Oh, Ron, you have something?
If we took over the city's health services, and the city has to reimburse us for anybody we serve in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about the rural area? Maybe we should...
How about the what?
Well, you have, you're serving city and county residents, right?
Right. I'm sorry.
So the city's actually paying for us, aren't they? They're paying their county tax, and they're also paying for their health services.
No.
Well, look, we have a city health department and a county health department. We combined it. So now you're providing health services.
Oh,
so
I see.
Thank you. So the city, so the rural area doesn't pay, the townships don't pay anything for their people we take care of, do they?
Well, the county levy, though, is associated net of what the city reimburses us.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about city resident, the county, the city has to pay twice. We have to pay county tax for the whole county, and then the city residents have to pay for the ones that you take care of, the health services you provide in the city. Am I wrong here?
Explain it to me.
The way the levy works is it's actually structured so that the county only pays for the county and the city only pays for the city. You all, we do all the algebra, so that's the way it works.
I know it's the way it works. Still, we're paying twice in the city for the same, for the health department. We pay the whole cost of the health department, and the city taxpayers have to reimburse you for... I mean, I know we took over their responsibility. I know that. But it still seems to me that it's not a balance there. It's a,
no, it's the, there's a formula. It's based on service delivery. And after looking, taking into account the adjustment for apportionment by equalized value, the city contribution is adjusted so it equals only the amount that it needs to equal, so the city only pays for services for the city. And it's actually, there's this complex formula we use, and it actually works out that the city does not pay for the county, and the county does not pay for the city.
All right, you explained it to me. After the meeting is over, you can explain it to me again.
Oh, happy to do that. Happy to.
Don't think we're paying twice.
Any other discussion?
So just on the next couple pages are the health fee schedule, which you always approve when you're doing the budget. And if in 2014 we moved it to be accordingly to the federal poverty level. So when that poverty level changes or adjusts, our fees are adjusted. But on the third page, or page six of that section, you'll see in red two line items, and it's for arsenic testing, and the DNR now has a new requirement for anybody who has a well that we have to have, they have to have it tested for arsenic. So those are the two new fees. Aging and Disability Services is next. This chart shows admissions, average length of stay. This is for mental health and emergency detentions. So the chart in the upper left shows the hospital decreasing of admissions, but it's not because we didn't want it. What happens is now that the Medicaid, there's more people on Medicaid throughout the state of Wisconsin, that there's more voluntary admissions in the hospitals. So there's, when we have crisis contacts and they need to be involuntary admitted, there's no room at the hospitals, so we're using the institutes a little bit more. And the hospitals were about $660 on average per day. The institutes are $1,080. And whenever possible, we use our local care center, which has worked out really well, and that's at $365 a day. So we're seeing a little shift in hospitals and institutes. The next page shows adult crisis contacts.
Yeah.
This number of emergency detentions is up kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
What are your comments on that?
It has been rising. if you look at our crisis contacts on the next page, we actually, year-to-date through September, are up 350 more crisis contacts than all of last year. So sometimes those crisis contacts turn into emergency detentions. Okay. I mean, it shows on the pie charts, actually, the what the method or the call was about. And so you can see that the pies are getting bigger for alcohol and drug and for abuse. And what's the blue? Family and interpersonal. They're all about.
Who determines these emergency detentions, or what?
I think it's a joint effort between our crisis team, law enforcement, and hospitals at some point. So our crisis team goes out first, or if it happens to be at the hospital, they'll go to the hospital. And law enforcement and our crisis team have all gone through crisis intervention training, and we've been doing that with NAMI for about 4 or 5 years now in the county.
Ultimately, the decision to for that person to be admitted into the hospital comes from the county or our services that we receive in crisis. So we have the final stamp of approval on whether or not that person is a danger to him or herself or others. These cases are reviewed daily. In talking to Jim Trushan, who's our mental health manager in aging and disability, he indicates that 100% of these cases need to be hospitalized at the time that they are coming in. So if they aren't, we try to divert them and get them other help and assistance. We just don't say, have a nice day. So a lot of effort and training and thought goes into this in an effort to try to help people stay.
And that's what we're using to try to offset some of the cost is more training and preventative things?
Correct.
Okay. In your budget, as we go on through this, What are we expecting in the future with this number? I mean, this is a big bump in number, and it's going to be a relative bump in the number. It's going to cost us more money. So are we budgeting for a higher number of these cases? Or?
I can speak to two things off the top of my head. I mean, a lot of these is that people at one point had lost their insurances and things like that. Well, now there's more people on Medicaid. We actually have a savings, and I'll show you the line item for counseling and pharmaceutical, those type of expenditures, because we're seeing more people on Medicaid. It's the childless adults that have now been able to get Medicaid. And then the other one is we're going to pilot a program with Kenosha Human Development Services, kids here in town, and they have a mental health clinic. They've had it for a year and a half or so, and we're seeing a really very bad shortage of psychiatrists and psychiatric services, and that's nationwide. That's not, just Kenosha. So we're piloting and we're adding some services so that they can actually find another professional to hire, so that it can be a nurse practitioner, it can be a physician's assistant, it can be a psychiatrist, somebody in the mental health field, and we can pick up, that person then can pick up an additional 750 to 1,000 cases for us. And that will help. We're looking into more preventive and preemptive programs. And that's two of the areas that we're seeing some savings.
So you're telling me that with this big bump in savings, we're still seeing a savings?
I mean, savings just started this year. Just started late this year, like this summer, people on Medicaid.
For the prescriptions and some of the outpatient services.
And the pilot program started January 1st, 2015.
So what you're telling me in layman's terms is with this jump, we're doing things to offset that number in the area of the finances.
Rather than being the emergency detention, we're trying to put preventive programs in place.
All right, thank you.
Right. I don't think you covered this, but my question is, with the crisis intervention training now, could it be that we are referring more people to for mental health to the hospitals and institutions, which is probably the way to go, but more expensive than incarceration? Well, we might have just thrown them in jail before, but now we're going this route? are being referred that route?
You know, that's an interesting question, mm-hmm. and there may be something to that, because a lot of the law enforcement has gone through that training. You've heard Jack Rose come and talk about it, and they're much more sensitized to that situation when we walk in there. It isn't just arrest, throw mm-hmm. in a detention yeah. center and see what happens now. So there may be more of a push to try to get them away from incarceration and into some sort of treatment. Mm-hmm. So.
And our grant for the crisis training had been decreased from the state level, but NAMI received a very generous donation, and they're going to continue supporting the training. In the future.
Okay.
Yes, Ron.
What caused the ability of the child to serve?
Ron, can you speak up a little bit?
What caused the ability for single people to get Medicaid? What caused
the
that?
The childless adults, yeah, that was part of the state Medicaid in the governor's budget, in the biennial budget. That was the shift.
And
so they are getting more services.
And they shift that because of that had anything to do with Obamacare or anything like that?
It's part of the governor's Medicaid program within the state.
So even though they didn't shift them to the Badger Care, that was a decline. This helped that part of it.
Yeah, Medicaid. That's one population that came on board that had not been before.
But a lot of them lost their Badger Care too, though, haven't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he didn't take the federal money.
Right, and it's,
Lori, we were talking about the detentions. Do you think these other programs, the prescription drugs, et cetera, following people, is your intent to reduce the number of emergency detentions?
Well, that's always our intent, to put preventive programs in so they don't get to the emergency stage. After getting on another 1,000 cases at the mental health clinic here would really help. I mean, there's more than 1,000 probably waiting at the door. So, but we need to have them seen on a regular basis with professionals in Keep-Demand.
There is no such clinic now.
There is.
Is, but it's maxed out. I mean, I use the example of Dr. Sharma, who was an area psychiatrist here for years, retired at the end of August, and I believe he had a caseload of close to 5,000 people. In his letter to his people, he said, contact Kenosha Human Development Services for assistance. Well, they were already filled to the brink and had to put people on waiting lists, and certainly if somebody was in an emergency crisis, you try to help. But I mean, so that's what this community and all over the country are experiencing. So that's why we're looking at a pilot project here in our budget to help kind of offset some of that and get another, at least maybe up to 1,000 cases seen.
And these clients are on Medicaid, you know, and a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists aren't taking the Medicaid clients. So that's why we're trying to help this mental health clinic.
Has that issue been discussed with the two hospitals, Roar and Kenosha?
I believe there has not been conversations in a while with them. I know that it's been several years since they had any type of emergency detention or emergency place for people with mental health issues, and they just, my understanding, they weren't making money off it, so they closed their doors. And I don't think either one's interested at this point in time of reopening.
Don't you think it would be wise to reopen that discussion with Aurora and Kenosha?
I'll see where they're at with that, sure.
I know that issue came up a number of years ago before the Human Services Committee, I recall, and a couple of the hospital executives even met in a public meeting here. John?
In your chart here, Larry, this chart showing contacts, the amount of contacts with the same individual is included in this count, is it not?
Yeah, for adult crisis, it is the number of contacts. When we get to children and family services, they have a similar chart for juvenile crisis, and that's done by case, but those could have multiple contacts per case because they could be seeing mom, dad, or several children. So that's the difference. But this is a per adult contact, yes.
Anyone else?
So just to call your attention to the savings on page 4 of this section that we talked about under line 12, mental health. The mental health outpatient counseling there is where we're projecting annual savings then of $464,000, because it is expected that the state Medicaid expansion program will take care of these particular services for us. Further down, there's the mental health clinic of $180,706, and that's what we're putting in for the professionals to help increase the caseload that can be seen. We have comprehensive community support program, and there's a new line item of $107,517, and we, as of July 1st, in order to become, we needed to become a consortium with another county, so we partnered with Racine again, since we have many partners, many programs with them. And this is a mental health IOTA program. It's a Medicaid program that we actually, this division has been in for about 3.5 years now. And it is different from the other Medicaid programs because we actually submit our costs and then they give us the federal reimbursement of approximately 60%. So it's not a fee for service, you know, they're actually reimbursing us. Well, the state saw its merit, that program, and in the biennial budget, as of July 1st of 2014, if you became a consortium, they would supply our local match. So it's supposed to be 100% funded, so we don't have any levy now in that program. So we are going through a certification process, and we have been doing that since April and May, and we hope to be finished with the state on the certification with Racine and Kenosha as a consortium, so that we can now partake of them paying the local match for this program. So that's why you'll see the two adjustments in the expenditures, and then you'll see at the very bottom of that page for revenue, MACCS, that's the local match that they can pick up,
$242,000.
I get it. So with those, even with the extra preventive programs that we're doing for mental health, this division has a levy decrease of $121,304.
Any further discussion on that?
Children and Family Services. Again, this is the crisis contact pie chart that is shown. This is for juvenile cases now. And we do note on the bottom that, yes, this is a per case count in the pie, but in last year we averaged about 3.4 contacts per case. So again, we're treating the whole family, not just one adult, like we do in the Division of Aging and Disability Services. So right now through September 30th, we're actually seeing a rise there, and we're probably up over 750 contacts from even all of last year, 2013.
So you're at about 12.8 for this year already?
We're at what?
You said you're about 700 more than
last
year?
Yeah, 700 through September 30th.
So you're at about 12.8 or so?
Yes, 12,008, wow.
Okay, thank you.
What? What?
She's surprised that you could add.
It was 12,008.
Yes.
Very good.
Keep picking on me.
Okay. The next chart shows our out-of-home placements, and you can see we're seeing a rise, particularly this year in 14, for the cost of the placements, and then in 2015 we're expecting it to be a little higher. On the next page shows really the story why. So I'm looking at the bar charts on the next page. On the top, there's the days of care. And we budgeted $78,825. However, we are $78,610. So we're averaging under our number of days of care. However, on the bottom, our average daily rate has gone up. The state has started negotiating their own rates with all of the out-of-home placement providers. And so we are out of whatever they've negotiated with is what we get charged now. So it's been starting since the end of 2013, we saw that. So that's why our costs are rising, and we're asking, we have to increase that line item for 2015 of about $107,000. The the next page starts the budgets information, and the two, we're asking for additional 3.0 FTEs. 2.0 of that is our social worker positions that were actually added during 2014. We, the state has a new requirement for child abuse and neglect cases and have increased the caseload tremendously for both caseworkers and for supervisors. So our caseloads have gone up, the workload's gone up, so we needed, and this is all for child welfare and protective services cases. So the only one we're adding for 2015 new is a supervisor, additional supervisor, particularly for that unit because of the caseload increase.
Can you increase, explain in a little more detail or so understandable so that we understand why it is larger?
For the child abuse and neglect cases, there's a new standard that the state has put out, a new requirement.
What is it?
And so particularly it's reports have to be more detailed out.
Correct.
They have to be signed off by both caseworker and the supervisor now with more detail by the supervisor.
So yeah, it's just an added workload through their state automated child welfare information system. And the initial assessments are taking a big piece of that, which is what we used to call the initial investigation for abuse or neglect. And the time that that is taking and the amount of detail that goes in there, plus the supervisory oversight for that, is becoming more than two people can handle. We got 21 staff with two supervisors. So by putting a third one in there, you can have seven on each being supervised by a person, and that'll help offset some of that increased workload.
What's prompted that?
The state has been looking at their child welfare standardization for years and have been, I'd say, the last 5 years really pushing regulations and rules back onto counties so everybody's doing it uniformly, which is a good thing in the state of Wisconsin. But that has added certainly an increased workload for folks, and both on in the investigative side and in what we call the child welfare ongoing unit. You know, such requirements that we didn't have years ago, but they're good requirements. So you have to see a kid once a month if they're in a placement. Well, if you got 23 kids in placement scattered throughout the state, that takes quite a bit of your time to make those connections. And then the reports that have to go in and the supervisory checks and things like that. So it's really a workload issue.
Okay. Any other discussion?
The revenues on the next page, it shows some increases. I put a box around all our MA, our Medicaid revenue that is going up more than $270,000 that we're expecting for next year. A lot of that has to do with the comprehensive, the CCS program, the Comprehensive Community Services Program. This children's division has never done that program, and now they've opened that up. And remember, this is the one that the state is going to pick up our local match, so it'll be 100% funded.
Discussion, anyone?
Brookside is next. We have an additional FTEs. I have it broken down to the ones hired in 2014 and the expected ones for 2015. As our Medicare census goes up, the more we serve, the more patients' needs are for rehab, and so they have the authority to, during the year, as the Medicare census goes up, to add additional nursing staff. And so that's what we've done. And then you'll see in 2015, we've actually increased our Medicare census again, so we have to add additional staff. And most of that is for weekend coverage that we're adding. And there's no there's no levy associated with Brookside. It's operating revenues. They've covered everything. The contractual changes on line 4 shows going up quite a lot, $381,000. But that section includes our Medicare A and B expenditures. So as more patients are on that we're serving, the increase in expenditures are the same. They go up too.
Is that right? You're adding 12?
Yes, but we added a little bit less than half of that during 2014 because of the census going up. And we're projecting the census to go up in 2015 again, too, for Medicare. And again, it's all operational covered by operational revenues. I just want to draw your attention to the box on the bottom of the page. You'll see red numbers. What happens is in your budget book, there's a line called supplies third party that's got $150,000 there. We needed it to be split up between the two lines above it. So all this is a request to change the budget book, and I have the account numbers there. So managed care others should be $100,000, managed care part A should be $50,000, and then our supplies third party should be zeroed out, and that's worth the $150,000. So it's not adding anything, it's just adjusting the line items. So when we approve it, I would ask that would be included.
So does this budget contemplate a surplus as we've seen?
Yep.
And what is that?
Okay. Well, I guess you want to just go right to that page.
I guess we're just in the bottom line.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're interested, I'm interested. Right. Okay, so I just want to review page 4 to show you where the surplus is really coming from. So page 4 of this section looks like this. Okay. So this is what's happening in 2014. So our Medicare budget on the line in yellow was 37, and year to date through October 9th, we're running 42.3. And remember, this is the payer source that helps offset the bottom line costs. Medicaid, we had budgeted 84, we're at 74. So being lower is fine because this is the payer source that we don't break even on. And then private pay, we budgeted 29 and we're at 30.8. So through September, we should be at 75% of our revenue source, and we're at 79.3. So on the very first part, the very first page when I started, I said that Brookside was going to be $425,000 more than, you know, giving back at the end of the year of their operating revenues. This is the reason why. So we're way above our target. And in the orange, I just want to point out that they're 98.1% occupied. I mean, that's just wonderful. Not many nursing homes can claim that. So the next page is what we do every year when we do our budget process in July, is we call up the neighboring nursing homes and we ask, what is your private pay rate? Because we compare it to what our room rate is. This year, our private pay rate is $300. For 2015, we are proposing to keep it the same at $300. So you can see in the pink or shaded areas that there are several, there's four out of the seven that we've looked at that are higher than what our current rate is. Their current rate is higher than $300. And I've ranked them in order on the bottom, and we're always in the middle. So we're not too high and we're not too low, so we're always in the middle every year.
Not too high or too low unless you have to pay it.
But you get five-star quality.
That's right.
On point, I just doesn't take long to go through your savings at that rate, does it?
Okay. Well, so our total revenue options then for 2014 and 2015. So private pay is, we had budgeted 29, and we're going to stay at 29, even though we're at 30.8. We're just going to keep that and be conservative for next year. Our Medicare, Part A, we were at 37. We were running 42, and we budgeted 41. So we're even lower than what we are year to date for next year. And then just to offset, Medicaid is plugged in so that we have a 149-bed occupancy rate. So the next page shows all of our revenue sources. So our revenue in 2014, we were to give back $785,963. That's the 2014 adopted. And remember, keep in mind that included our debt service return, too, because this was our first year that we had no debt. And 2015, we're proposing to return $641,339. So we're not quite as much in 2014, so we're just about $144,000 difference from 2014 to 2015. And keep in mind, this is operating revenues return. There's no levy. And there is capital outlay in this building, in this budget for specific items needed for resident equipment and nursing equipment, and that's all being paid by operating. There's no bonding in this budget.
What do you attribute the 144 to?
Well, actually, it's not bad, because if you remove the debt service of about 690 from the other side, we're doing a lot better. So, because the debt service attributed about 690 from that 785,000 from last year. So, you know, the more Medicare, obviously, our rates, the rate that we're budgeting for our Medicare reimbursement is a lot lower than what our average is this year. So that revenue budget is pretty conservative.
Discussion?
So the Internal Service Fund, that's our own Internal Service Fund, and as I said, you know, that holds all of our rents and it pays for depreciation, offsets with depreciation, and for any kind of capital projects for Human Services Building. In 2014, we had used $200,000 of the excess cash rents to help offset our levy need. We're returning that back now in 2015. We don't need to use it. So I'm going to stop right here, because what we did was I presented to you the Human Services operating budget, including Brookside's operating budget, that did not include the 18.2 project, because that we thought we'd take that separate. So for a vote. So we would do this, and then we can talk about the project, and then we can vote on the project and the bonding itself. Second.
All right, is there a motion from motion Supervisor O'Day and seconded by Supervisor Bruning? And then on the question,
just Bill. Discussion. Let's go back to the first page, Laurie. You're taking a look at the FTEs as neutral change from total weight, four are now going to be realistic according to the Department of Finance Administration. What is the rationale or the reason for doing it? What's the day one to do all this?
Want me to do it, Laura? You can take a break.
I'll let Boston. So,
in 2008, the county executive established an initiative to have all finance staff report through the Department of Finance Administrative Services. So, over time, we've been making sure that the budget reflects that. So, it doesn't change the purpose of the staff. They'll still continue to fulfill the work that they've been doing. It's just the way it's depicted in the budget. So for example, if we make representations to bond rating agencies or auditors or other entities and we say this is what we're doing, then the budget does reflect that we're doing what we said we're doing.
So these are FTEs basically doing the same job they're doing, just for accounting purposes, for internal purposes, they're now in this separate group.
They're in the department. I'm a department director. It's called Department of Finance and Administration, and they're in my department.
So they're coming over then for budget year 2015, that's proposed.
We're depicting it in the budget that way, but operationally it's been that way since 2008.
Oh, since 2008.
Right.
Okay. So across all of the departments now, is it parity or is it the same thing where we have the same situation in other departments?
Yeah, right. With the exception of elected offices.
So these are individuals employed directly by Kenosha County. These don't represent contract workers, or is that correct?
The FTEs, no. It's all county.
All county.
FTEs.
No contract.
Not FTEs, no, but you'll see interdepartmental changes in 5999 series.
Okay.
And that represents the contracted fiscal services that are associated with human services that are now being recorded under Department of Finance.
Also, the contract workers are now agreeing that as well. And that's how recent?
2008.
Yeah, we've all, as of 2008, we all reported to the Department of Finance and Administration. It's just that we were always put into Human Services budget in the book.
So it's more of just a...
It's a budget neutral change.
That's my question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, there's a motion on the floor to approve as the presented, and that includes that amendment. And would you just repeat that again?
Thank you. Yeah, it's in within Brookside's budget, and it's moving from one line, $150,000, to adjust it to the two lines up for managed care, Part A and Part and other. It's in red. And, on page 1 under Brookside's.
I'm 1 under Brookside.
Page 1 under Brookside.
What about section? That page 1 at the beginning overview? You said that was not 205, but 5,000.
Well, I said if you took out the internal service fund, that 200,000 that we're getting back, that we're not using in 2015, that change, then it just means that additional levy was 5,000.
All right, further discussion as presented. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, so now we have the project. And we have included in your packet a very summarized PowerPoint. It's up to you whether you want us to go through it. Fran is here. Or if you have specific questions.
That was presented to the board.
It is a summary.
It's fairly
yes.
Yes. It's just familiar
a summary.
With it.
We
and,
thought we'd refresh your memory.
So unless the committee has some desire to redo that, I don't have any desire to redo it unless they want to. No.
The Human Services Committee saw it last night again.
Well, I'm not pushing you to do it. I just don't want to.
No.
All right, then we won't.
No.
So why don't you just present it to me?
So,
the dollars here and the cost.
So the first part is you would have to approve the capital project, which is $18.2 million. And, again, that represents a new two-story, 48-bed rehab, a 24-bed CBRF, nursing home, the current nursing home area, remodeling and improvements to that. And then we have $1.7 million of capital projects. And those are capital items. And those would be in our budget no matter what you do, because it's like the new roof. I mean, the building is 20 years old, so it's like the new roof. We need air handling units. We need this and that. So instead of putting it into a five-year plan, we just included this now into the small expansion project. So that's what makes up the 18.2.
And that's this initial resolution that you see.
There's two pieces. First, you're approving the line item in the budget. And
it's on page 258. Under Human Services, it's on page 258. It's its own line item for construction and modeling.
So you would be approving that line item on page 258. And then if you favor that, then you would do the bonding.
And then the bonding's on 261, the revenue for it.
Discussion. So these on 258 are the items that you do anyway.
Well, 1.7 of the 18.2 we would have to do anyways, yes. But we rolled it into the whole project, the expansion project.
Okay. Yes, Doug.
I recall during the presentation the comment you made about the nursing stations being reworked, and I'm assuming that you're getting opinions and so on from the nurses as to what needs to be redone there. But I don't recall anything about comments made with regards to the med rooms. From my recollection from having lived with somebody that worked there for 30 years, the med parts didn't fit in the med rooms, so are those being addressed as well?
We have an idea board posted in the basement of our facility for the staff to give ideas on what they would like changed and added. And so we're collecting that information. We're actually on our second big sheet. We've got so much input. And that's what we will be working with the architects on. And with the culture change model and neighborhood model of long-term care services in the skilled setting, it is relocating the medication rooms and where nurses gather to do their work because more centralized. So that is absolutely something that would be in the plan. Up to and including some models they don't have med carts. They have the medications in the patient's room in a locked drawer, so you can go to the room, open the drawer, hand the medicines, and not have to push this behemoth around and take up space.
So you're definitely addressing.
Absolutely.
Further discussion?
Move to approve.
Okay, so we're approving that which is on 258 only.
It's the expense, right? The line item. And we'll do the bonding after.
Is there a second?
Second.
Jeff?
Did you second or did you?
No, he, Ron Frederick did. He's a discussion.
So I was kind of tired when this was presented to the board back in when it was a long meeting. And I have 2 points that I want to make sure of. The first is I want to hear what somebody has to say about the transition period, whether or not we'll be losing any money or what will be happening to the revenue sources and our bottom line as we're building and moving people around, number one. So whoever wants to handle that.
It's going to be about 3 years to do this. We're going to go the new parts first and then transition people from whichever hall we're remodeling back and forth. It'll be a little confusing. We will be down a few beds in that long spreadsheet that was included in your packet on August 19th. There are the first 4 years that it is, we could run short, but we're using like the sinking fund, we're keeping all of our revenues in there, and then it will all be paid back by the time we're fully occupied. So there won't be any levy issued or needed during that period. But it's very small. You'll see the losses during the construction period, but then once we get fully implemented and everybody's on, you know.
So for those 3 years of building and 4 years of transition, we're not going to go to the levy
No.
to get any money.
No.
Okay. The second thing is, I know it was brought up and it'll probably be brought up again, changes in the Medicare, the way it works through the government and how these assumptions are made. Can you highlight that for me?
Are you speaking of the assumptions of census?
Yes, and how much is paid, and whether there's any government changes to how Medicare is done, whether or not we're making assumptions out 20 years and all of a sudden some type of revenue may not be there?
Well, the actual census, we are going by experience as far as, you know, how many patients we have been able to attract and retain. So we have a pretty good track record on predicting that. As far as the actual reimbursement side of Medicare and the Medicare program, I've been in the business for over 30 years, and Medicare has always been evolving. 20 years ago, Medicare was paid a flat fee. Today, we have Medicare patients are paid on over different 60 different categories they may fall in. Five years ago, we had straight Medicare, and now we have Medicare Advantage program. So it's just constantly evolving, and we are constantly on top of that and adjusting. And I'm confident that we are accurate. I mean, our Medicare increases over the last few years, probably 4 or 5 years, have been consistently at a 2%. And Lori and I have taken a very conservative stab at Medicare increases of maybe a little bit less than 1%. So the program, we feel, and the experts that we consult with, national experts, have no reason to believe that Medicare is going to cease to exist. It's kind of like oxygen, you know, especially in this aging society. But like I said, it's going to change and evolve a little bit every now and then, and we're prepared to work with that system.
Thank you.
Okay, is there further discussion? Are you ready to vote on then 250 expenditures, say? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Right, do you want to do the initial resolution?
Yes.
Next
thank you.
We'll consider the initial resolution. The initial resolution authorizes the selling of the bond, so we'll be able to finance it. The initial resolution has a project cost of $18.2 million plus issue cost of a little over $300,000, so a total of a little over $18.5 million.
Motion?
Yeah.
Motion approved.
Is there a second to approve the initial resolution? Now, that comes before the board with a two-thirds vote.
It'll be a three, it requires 18 votes.
Okay, so three-quarters.
And it's actually 18 votes.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
We need 18 votes. That's three-quarters of the
seated
members.
Seated number. 23. All right.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion to approve the initial resolution. Discussion on that? Anyone? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. And I'll distribute the resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
So be careful, it's not, it doesn't have a clip. Oh, here's, let me put this clip on.
All right. There was a request to take a brief break of about 5 minutes, and we will do so. We'll return in about 5 minutes to conclude.
I was looking out for you.
Yeah, I didn't have any.
Like it's my pee time?
It is.
Yeah. I'm going to pass around the initial resolution for your approval.
Here. I'm going to sign it.
Then I get to borrow your pen, right?
All right. Yeah.
The initial resolution.
Explain to me why the city's getting a deal.
Why what?
Explain to me why the city's getting a deal on the health insurance.
We're not getting a deal. We have this complex formula, and it takes into account how much the county levy is apportioned to the city, and then after that happens, the difference, then they pay us. No. No. But they didn't have a health department that we consolidated.
But their residents are getting the same service as city residents.
But what's charged to them is the service that they get. So 80% of, let's say 60% of the service is provided by the city, then the city pays for that. And the town and villages outside the city would pay 40%. Now, what would happen? Yeah, they don't pay directly, but they pay through the apportionment of the levy.
Yeah, but how about the city's apportionment of the levy?
If that were to happen, if what you're talking about would happen, then all the areas outside of the city would subsidize the city for the health department services.
Well, but then aren't we subsidizing the health department?
You're not subsidizing. There is no subsidy. You're paying for the cost. The city pays for the cost of the health department services that the city gets. And the rest of the county pays for what they get. It's just all, it's not by.
The city residents get more services?
Oh, yeah. They use a lot more because they have over 100,000 people, even though they're only 45% of the property value.
It's still,
you think that they have to kick in a little, you know? Yeah. I mean, if that were to end, then it would be.
Like we know what happens. We provide, when Silver Lake goes out of business, we're going to have to hire deputies to cover their losses. You know, someone's built to Walmart, and the sheriff's department sells out to Walmart every time with shoplifters and everything else. So.
Here's the initial resolution to this. That's the initial resolution for the bonding for Brookside.
This little pack here. Just the latest, like. Let me see what the outlay. Oh, sorry.
Did you sign that already?
Yeah, I already signed it.
The other day I signed about 60 sheets of.
You got the supplemental. Sorry. That's the supplemental pack that we got with all the questions.
Oh, you know? Did you get all that?
I think. If this is the latest regarding the
This looks like it. The question is updating the report, and we're going to bring the final in next week on it should be in here. Yeah, the team should be reflected in here. What the thing about it is that we should be backing that all the levy.
That was this number is a little different than.
It's getting reconciled, and we're going to bring an updated sheet in there. It might be hard to get I had it right here.
I got rid of it.
So he's the last one.
Well, you guys are straggler at the moment.
That's Kim.
Jeff is right here.
I don't have a book. I got a couple.
Can you give me one, Jim?
Yeah, I'm coming around.
You guys, Jeff, don't bury that.
You don't need to use it. You can use a book if you want.
An alternative weather report.
Don't be hassling me now. Come on.
Do my job. No
book in this thing. I'm shocked that so many people didn't think I could add. Did you see that?
A lot of times people don't look at their packets.
I analyze everything.
That's it.
Okay. Sure. I want to track it down for you.
Got to watch that land development budget.
I just want to track it down.
Got to watch that land development budget.
That's fine. I can get bills for them. We're good.
I will resume our meeting with a presentation. And our next budget is the Department of Public Works.
Okay.
Jim.
Where? We'll cover five different departments: planning, development, parks, golf, highway, and facilities. Each one of these pages, they're very similar. The first page is a planning development page. the top part, this is the third year in a row we've used this format. These numbers do agree to exactly what's in the budget book. And I can, we can either go off these sheets or we can go out of the book. We'll be prepared to answer any questions any way you want to do it. On each page, there's a box. The top part of each box shows the expenses, the four or five appropriation levels, depending upon that, what that department has. And we're comparing the 2004 approved budget to the 2014 approved budget to the 2015 proposed budget. And then we show an increase or decrease. And the top part is the expenses. And then the bottom part is the revenues. And then at the bottom is a net line, because in theory, the revenue should cover what the expenses are. So the top part is the operating budget, and it shows up on the top of each page out of your budget book where the detail pages are. Then the bottom part is the capital for that department. In total, for the entire Public Works Department, the levy is going down about $200,000, about 2%. The headcount is staying flat, with the exception of there are replacement positions for deputy directors of parks and deputy director of highways, because the two gentlemen who head those divisions now are considering retirement, and as part of succession planning, we have included in the 2015 plan some money to bring some people in to eventually take their place. Overall, in the capital budget, our spending is around over $8 million, which is about 70% of the entire capital budget of $12 million, roughly. So what I would like to do is go department by department. We'll talk about the top part, which is the operating expenses, and then there's some notes on what increases and what decreases. You can stop me at any time, ask any questions. If you've got a note in your book, what page it is, hopefully these are the high points, big increases or decreases or whatever. Okay, so planning and development department. Total expenses for planning and development in the 2014 adopted budget were $786,000. For the 2015 budget, they're $790,000. Same headcount in 2014 and 2015. There's a few small salary increases, just the normal step increases. And those are in the personnel appropriation line. Underneath contracted services, sewer pack services, there's a decrease of a couple thousand dollars, and that's based on an estimate that they give us. It's going from $177,000 this year to $174,000, $175,000 next year. And there are no capital expenses planned for 2015 for the Planning and Development Department.
Yeah.
Through the chair to Vice Chair Brunig, since you were always the guru on this, I thought every certain number of years there was a big expense for mapping or something, or some, can you jog my memory? I thought 2015 was the year that we had a bigger payout for that.
There was, but the mapping was changed to which department?
Land.
To
land.
Yeah, and IT.
It was changed to IT? So that'll be in their budget?
It was changed to IT and in the land information. Which
okay.
Is under, it was changed to a different department. That's why it's not in here.
And I'll see it again. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you really there? You're laughing at it?
Any other discussion? Yes.
Jim, were there any other issues when the budget came through?
The only other issue that came up at the PDEC committee was on the funding side, where if you look at this revenue section, there's the state aid for land conservation revenue is going down. That's a state supplied number. Permits and land use fees are planned down. That's based on experience. And the levy is planned to go down $37,000, and this budget called for a $78,000 carryover. In 2014, we budgeted $78,000 for consulting expenses this year. That was $50,000 to replace the services of a gentleman who we had as an engineer who left the county and never, we did not replace that body. So we kept $50,000 of budget in there in case we needed his services. And then we also had 20-some-odd thousand dollars in there for grant writing services. We haven't used that money this year. So we were planning to carry it over to next year in case we needed those services in 2015. And there was discussion at the PDEC committee to change that number. I don't know how that gets passed along to this committee or if I just did that.
I think you just did
that. Okay, so that was not brought up.
It's in the draft minutes.
It's in a minute?
Draft minutes.
Yeah.
Can you draft minutes? Al, is that an issue?
Well, I believe the recommendation of the committee was to reduce the expenditure. And I don't remember how much they reduced it for.
They wanted to reduce the expenditure from $78,000 to $48,000, which is a $30,000 decrease, but still continue to use $78,000 worth of carryover, which you really can't do.
I don't think when the committee made the motion to reduce the expense, they didn't realize that if they reduced the expense, they also had to reduce the amount of carryover. So if you take the recommendation of the committee, you have to reduce the expense and the carryover. You are not reducing levy by reducing the expense by $30,000. My recommendation would be to leave it as presented.
Leave it as.
Because the intent there was, is we hadn't used that expense for a specific purpose, and as we need engineering services or grant writing mm-hmm. services in future years, we would replenish that rather than tax for it every time we need it.
Okay. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion on planning development? Do you want to vote on these individually, or would you like?
Matter.
If there be a motion, I'll entertain it. If not, we'll do it all.
Move to approve.
Second. There's a motion to approve the planning and development. Second by anyone?
Second.
Aaron
seconded
it. Oh, Aaron.
Oh, I missed
Aaron.
That. Aaron. Yeah. All right, Aaron. I missed that.
He's
flat. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right.
Okay, page two.
Parks.
Page two, these are some small departments. The top four on there, Board of Adjustment, Tree Planting, Pre-Development, Land and Water Management, are small departments, only one of which has any levy. That's the Board of Adjustment. That's $8,000 of levy. Tree Planting, Pre-Development, Land and Water Management, there is no levy. The expenses are covered by the revenues. And then the two on the bottom there, the dog park and the mountain bike trails, those are two departments that are a part of parks where we take in revenue and we can only spend the revenue that we take in. There's no levy on those departments either. So I just show them here and make mention because they are in your budget book.
Thank you for that.
This is good to know.
All right. Discussion? Motion?
Move to approve.
Okay. To approve the miscellaneous departments as listed at page two, there's who seconded that, please?
Ron.
All right. Further discussion, Jeff. You
have no, I just was wondering what we were approving, but I'm clear now.
Okay. Further discussion.
Hey.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Parks.
Okay. Parks is on page three. Again, we'll start with the top part. Parks Department will have a levy decrease, well, it basically it's flat, of $125. And there is a carryover here, and I'll explain what that's being used for. The total expenses for the department are $1,890,000 for the 2015 budget. For 2014, they're originally budgeted at $6,000 higher. So expenses are going down a little bit. The FTEs are basically flat, except for, I made mention of, Deputy Director of Parks. Salary, and that's the salary increase for succession planning. Seasonal payroll, there's a lot of seasonal payroll in this department. It's basically flat from 2014 to 2015. We budget by the hour and a rate per hour. not necessarily by the number of heads. It translates to FTE, but you could have 15 people or a dozen people as long as they work the same hours. It's okay. Medical insurance is changing, but it's only due to personnel changes, somebody going to from family to a single or no plan. It's going down a bit from 2014 to 2015. Miscellaneous contractual services will decrease slightly. There are some mandatory inspections we have to do this year. We don't have to do them in 2015. Other operating expenses will go up $5,000, just general increases in the cost of maintaining the grounds and equipment. Gas is going to go up a little bit. We really don't have in mind what the price of gas will be. It's just been up and down so much. But based on history, it's been going up slightly, so we increased it slightly. Motor vehicle expenses are actually going down. We hired a mechanic in the Parks Department last year. Last year we hired him. He's really doing a good job, saving us a lot of money. Things that used to be farmed out, he does in-house. He's very good. So we've shown a trend of saving money in that department. Mm-hmm. Building maintenance supplies, slight increase based on historical experience. Pringle donation, we're proposing to give them an extra $1,800 to help defray some of their increases in cost of operating expenses. Park revenues are going to go down from 2014 to 2015. We're showing a trend in decrease in beach fees collected. And again, there's a carry. Part of this will be the revenues. There's a snowmobile revenues and there's a park revenues that I talked about. There's a carryover in 2014. We have similar consulting expenses, not as much money, but for grant writing that John uses to write grants. We've been pretty successful in getting grants to cover some of our park projects. We haven't spent all that money in 2014, so we want to carry it over and use it in 2015. That's the $23,000 carryover for those services. And
discussion, here Kim has something.
Jim, the Pringle donation, originally when that was set up, we had given them $20,000 so, and they were going to leverage that and write grants against it so that they could be self-sustaining eventually. What's the total that we're giving them now? And how much are they leveraging to write their grants for?
Pardon me? It's $25,000 we give them. I don't think I can answer the second part of your question now without going back and looking. When you say leverage, you mean how much are they? What kind of skin in the game do they have?
Right.
Yeah, I don't have their total budget with me.
Did they come and present this year?
No.
They did not?
Well, we have once a year, I think it was 2 months ago, we had a meeting, our public works meeting, and we go to their location and they give a speech about what they're doing, if that's what you're talking about. They were not at our budget meeting.
But they didn't, so they didn't tell you if they were writing grants or anything to...
They're always writing grants.
Do we know how much that they've received in grants?
They have their financials, they give them to us. I think they only give them to us every other month now, instead of every month, because there are some changes in...
Yeah, I know, Nick. Yeah.
But we do have that, and we find that out.
Okay.
Dennis?
I was just going to mention, John just said that they are very good on giving the committee every 2 months their financial statement, what they're doing, where they're spending their money, and where they're bringing in money. So just public record.
Dennis, have they mentioned to you how much they've received in grants?
I don't know the dollar amount, but I know they're operating very well and successfully with, it's not just on our $25,000, that's for sure. So they have to be creating a lot more funding.
Okay.
Jeff, go ahead. Just a question on the panel.
Right. John, on the carryover for the grants, do you do that internally or do you get help outside on writing the grants and things?
Outside.
You use Parkside or what do you use?
The county did have a lady in UW Extension. There were grants that worked in there, and she took a different job, and we we retained her almost as a contract employee, where she just works per hour for us.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there something further you want to present?
We didn't talk about the capital for the parks. So.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to tell everybody that we do have some folks here from Kemper who come to attend the meeting, and if you have any questions about the Kemper operation, they'd be happy to answer those questions if anybody has anything.
Is that, am I correct, that's 100,000 toward operations and 50 toward capital? Yeah. Capital projects.
Yes. And I do have their report. It's sitting in a pile out on the desk, so when this is all over, if you want to take one, they've prepared what their annual statement is. It has all their information in it and tells a little bit about what they've done, and they'll be happy to answer anything that you would ask of them.
Right.
What are they going to do with the capital, the 50,000? Have they got any projects or? 50,000 capital.
Who's speaking?
Yes, yeah, there's improvement projects that are being done. Nancy, can you respond to that?
Yes. Hi there. Yeah, we're putting together a list right now, get it approved by the board, and we have more than $50,000 worth of projects, so we have to pick and choose the ones we want to do for next year. So we will approve that, the Buildings and Grounds Committee, then the board, and it will come to the county.
And the pier is all set now, or?
Yeah, the pier is all gone.
Huh?
Yes.
So where is that pier at right now?
I mean, it's
out, obviously, it's but is it? So there's nothing else to do except what?
You're going to do a little bit more of the riprap.
Right. There's some riprap that has to go in, and they're supposed to be back and finish removing the legs. There's about 4 foot of the legs sticking out yet.
That was all part of what part of the cost of the project. The legs are still coming out, but they have to do that. And then that was all part of the bid or whatever it was. I know it went over, didn't it? Didn't it go over what you thought it was going to be?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think we're good.
I think I read something in the paper about they were having trouble with something. I was down there looking at it. I'll just real quickly.
When they went to tear down the last part of the pier, it was reinforced, and they didn't have the right equipment, so they had to come back and do it. But budget-wise, it was just a little bit more work than what they thought.
Question on that. Wasn't there supposed to be an observation deck replacing that?
Right, but it'd be more of like, I would call it a patio on the lake shore with some benches.
Is that going to be done in 2015?
After all this construction is done, we're going to step back and do that afterwards. We still have the parking lot, 66th Street, and all those renovations that have been delayed until 2015. I'd like to get that done and out of the way and then do that.
So all that's going to be done in 15.
We'll try to push it.
Further discussion? Is there anything else you want to present, Jim?
Only if somebody has, there's a few capital projects on the bottom for the Parks Department. There's a lift, a chemical storage unit, a one-ton truck. There's the Kemper Center capital, two utility carts. And the Pike River Shoreline Stabilization, that's $540,000, but that's funded below. There's grant funding. We get $75,000 from Waste Management, and we get $540,000 for the Pike River if we are approved for the grant. If we're not approved, we don't do the project. And then parkland development is $175,000. Now, $75,000 of that is funded by the waste management contribution, and the other $100,000 is additional funds that we would use for various park projects that might come up over the course of the year.
John?
The parkland development, is some of that going to go to continue the KD park?
Yes.
Are you going to use the kids in the summertime thing with some of that money, or? Is that separate from the money?
We use people, the kids to go out there, and the youth group to go out there.
Youth crews.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Further discussion, Rick?
Yeah, the account 534,900. What part of that is the Katy Park expansion? How much? Because you've got a lot of expenses grouped into that $75,000.
That's just the additional maintenance and upkeep we have to do because we now have that park that we didn't have before.
We're going to put the parking lot
That's not in there. That's a capital expense that would possibly be spent out of that parkland development, the additional $100,000.
Is that on schedule for this budget?
It's on schedule for 2015. But there's donations involved there that wouldn't be in the budget.
Oh, okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, proposition is to tentatively approve the park budget. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have golf.
Golf, page four. As you know, golf is a levy, or there is no levy associated with golf. The last 2 years, golf has made a little bit of money, broke even. They have two successful years in a row. 2015, next year, will be the last year of the debt service. That is included in the fixed expense line up above. It's about $315,000 next year. I think it's $325,000 this year. After that, that spending will disappear from this budget.
So you're saying that in 14 you expect a small profit?
Yeah. And in the rounds are down, the revenues are down, but he's done a real good job of keeping down the expenses, and the season is pretty much over, so we'll have a good idea. I don't want to promise anything, but it's looking like it'll be a break-even year. Okay.
Anything else you want? Is that issue of liquor at the golf courses still alive and well, or is that just passed on?
2 years in a row, we did an RFP for that. The first year, we had one person, a small outfit, want that business. And they weren't big enough to sustain it. Second year, there was two people. One was a cafeteria company from Illinois that did schools, and then the people from the first year came back again the second year, and we'd already ruled them out in the first year. So it is not an issue that we're pursuing right now.
Was there something wrong with the Illinois group?
We didn't feel they had any experience in golf courses at all. The school cafeterias.
Because that would increase your revenues. Dennis, do you have anything on that?
Well, the committee, and I know the majority of the county board is still very much in favor of pursuing that.
I mean, we've passed resolution.
We've passed resolution, and we have done the numbers, and we're all in favor of it. So I know that the county has put out the RFP. The purchasing department has gone after people. The avenue to pursue, I don't know, but I'm certainly not tired of pursuing it because I think it's something, like Brookside, we're not going to get rid of. These golf courses are probably going to be in our fold for quite some time, and I think to increase profitability, that'd be a major asset.
I think there'd be more people interested in renting facilities or having events there with liquor, not just beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chairman, the staff agrees. Everyone seems to agree. Well, not everyone. But we have not gotten people that the administration deems fit to come forward. So we have to possibly find a different avenue.
You have any proposals on that, thoughts on it?
Offhand this evening, I don't have a proposal, I don't know. But we certainly have to stay within the rules of a county-owned facility. And those rules will require that we can't hold a liquor license. So we need an outside party. If we could just go in and operate, we could go in and operate. But since we give licenses, we can't hold a class A. That is the problem. We have to find someone that runs a facility, runs a catering business, is willing to step in there. And so far, the criteria haven't been met by our administration and the staff that sends out there.
So these other public golf courses, do they sell liquor? Who's the, if they do, do they have an organization doing that, or do they do it themselves?
It'd be like...
Maybe don't know their own.
I don't know, but the reason Kemper Center can do it is because that's a private organization.
No, I was talking about other communities, other counties who have public courses.
If other counties have public courses, I would assume we all have the same rules. They must have a private outfit if they are selling alcohol.
Yeah.
I know that Racine privatized their golf courses, and I really think we should continue to pursue this, because it just makes sense. If we're going to be in the business, we have to be in the business. And I think maybe what we ought to do, instead of sending out an RFP, is contact all the golf courses within a radius and find out who handles their alcohol and go to the people who are doing it. I mean, I don't know. You know, that seems like an idea to me. I'm grasping at straws here, because there has to be a way for somebody to come in and do this. So, you know, maybe we have somebody look into, you know, calling around to golf courses in Wisconsin and Northern Illinois and finding out who sells it. Because I know that other golf courses, they do have this. And it makes sense, because it brings a whole new number of clientele, new rounds, new, you know, they'll host tournaments there, that type of thing. And I just think it's something that we really should look into. If we're going to be in a business, we should be in a business. And you know, this RFP thing, it's like, you know, throwing, you know, paper up into the wind. We got to come up with a plan. So I think if you could have someone call around and find out, you know, all the golf courses in our region and see where they're getting their services from, that might be a good place to start.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may, the administration has to be on board for something like this to work, and at this point, they haven't. So, we, you know, not that they've been adamantly against, but there's a lot of political pressure against us being involved in that type of activity. So, it's going to take, you know, a step up in order to do it, and the staff and the people working for the county that we've asked to do things, they've done. But so no one's, you know, stonewalling there. But it's if you remember the first time, the draft proposal for these people was so ungodly complicated that no one wanted to even try to read it. Then we simplified it on request from the county board. It was simplified, but we still didn't get it. And we, as a board and as a committee, naturally, we're doing other things. We didn't look at these proposals. And, you know, that's all done in-house here, and that's, you know, done by the administration and staff here. So. It was deemed by our people that worked for us that those two proposals weren't adequate. So that's where we are. But I think Supervisor Gentz makes a very good point. If you look at other municipalities, how they're doing it, I think the ones that are doing it are just as, like I said, Kemper Center is run. You can have liquor at Kemper Center, but it's not through Kenosha County. It's through Kemper Center. That's why we need, you know, a private person there running our catering. Whether that's what other municipalities are doing, I don't know.
John?
I agree with everything Dennis said and Jeff said, too. And the RFP process can be very intimidating. And I'd like to, for the committee maybe, to see the last RFP that went out, to just have it so we can see what it entailed, because it is very involved and scary for a lot of people to even get involved in. So you don't get any bidders back. Maybe there's no way you can condense it down any further and make it any more simple. And Bernie knows, he puts these things together because there's a lot of legal things with it.
And they're not going to have a full year-round business there, too. So they have to look at it from a business standpoint. What do they do in the wintertime when it's basically shut down? So there's a lot of balls to be moved around with this thing.
Jim, can you provide the committee with the RFP copy for each committee member by Monday? We're going to we'll resume our discussions Monday, and that would probably be an appropriate time to look at that, since our agenda is a little freer and possibly we'll be meeting Tuesday.
Doug, did you want to add?
Yeah, a couple things. I know at one time Bristol Oaks privatized their food and beverage service. They used Saz was out of Milwaukee. And a long time ago when I was chair of the Highway Parks and Golf, and when we weren't making money, I had Billy Casper's privatized, you know, I had basically had them in my home, and we went out and looked at the courses, and they gave me a 30,000-foot idea how much it would be to privatize our golf course like Racine does. But my recollection is if you privatize the golf courses, and I'm not proposing that anymore because we're breaking even, but if you privatize the golf course, you also solve the problem of the alcohol, being able to serve alcohol, because it would be done just like Temperson if you privatized it.
Further discussion? Anything else on golf?
Just at the bottom is the capital items for golf for 2015, $5,000 for restaurant equipment. Continue with golf course irrigation and restoration. This would be at Brightondale Blue. The white is done. Pets doesn't need anything. We started on the blue. This would be more work there. We need to replace a sewer line and a wastewater treatment system there, so we would start next year replacing the wastewater treatment system for $40,000. And then golf carts, this is the second year of a three-year plan to replace our golf carts. The ones that we're replacing next year are 5 years old then, Dan? Is that the...
Yes,
that old there?
They've been 5 years.
See, just to go back to this liquor thing here, I mean, to me, to spend over $300,000 on a break-even proposition, you'd never do that in business. To break even? You wouldn't spend $331,000 on capital projects to break even. You just wouldn't do it. Yes, Aaron.
My other thought with that was, are these things that could wait a year if we're getting rid of the debt service, which is $300,000, just to try to keep our bonding down with the 18-2 that we're doing with Brookside? I mean, we propose maybe pulling off on this year and doing them next year and putting it in the lead, kind of like Brookside covers their expense. Just a thought. You said the golf carts are a three-year plan though, right now. To do every year a third?
Yeah, the first year that we were supposed to do a replacement, we didn't do anything. Then last year, which was the fourth year, we replaced a third of the fleet. This is the fifth year, it's another third of the fleet. And we would be proposing in 2016 to do the last year of the fleet, or the last third of the fleet.
What's the irrigation restoration?
It's just continuing to replace the pipes. This is original equipment from when the golf course was built, some of it 40 years ago. So the pipes break and leak, and we have to go in and fix them.
Jeff?
Yeah, and see, that's my point. I mean, I have no problem with replacing the golf carts, sewer line, water system, irrigation, restoration. I mean, that stuff has to be done when you're running a business. You know, I've heard horror stories of what's going on out there with the pipes and water systems over the years, and you've got to maintain that. You know, all the more reason, like Terry said, when you look at, you know, the other proposal we were trying to get put through. So, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, $300,000 in our huge amount of bonding. I mean, this is something that, you know, if we're going to be in the golf course business, we have to do this stuff. I mean, we have to maintain it. It's like maintaining our buildings. You know, if you're letting stuff fall, your bottom line is going to drop. How much you're going to make is going to drop. The rounds are going to drop. You got to maintain this stuff. So I have no problem with doing this, but I wish we could bring that other piece forward too. So,
That's my comments.
Any other discussion? Yes, Ron.
Talking about golf courses, I was around when all we had was Pedophine Springs, and then we were going to add Brightondale, and then we added 9 and 9 and 9 and 9, and what have we got now? All together, 15. With both golf courses, what have we got?
63
holes, and all that plan was supposed to be making. We're going to get to some point where the golf courses were going to make all this money, and they've been breaking even all these years. But I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just suggesting that's just the way it is. I mean, if you want to sell alcohol, then you got to have a banquet hall, okay? Because if you're going to bring it, then you got to get a banquet hall. I think there's more to that than just saying we want to sell alcohol and you're going to make money at the bar. I mean, I'll be glad to look at any plan they sent out, but it's obvious you didn't get any replies. Did you get any replies at all?
The last time, two.
Yeah, and they were just to have a bar and sell alcohol.
Oh, they would sell the food, too. It was a food and liquor thing. Right. Well, we asked, when we put out the RFP, it was, do you want to sell liquor? Do you want to sell, at both courses, do you want to sell the food? It was any combination thereof. And the two that replied wanted the food and the beverage at both courses.
You know, I think we forget also, when we have these golf courses, we bring a lot of people in from outside Kenosha County. And there's a lot of people from Illinois come and use Brightondale. So that brings money and cash flow into the community, too. So it's not just making a profit. It's what it does to the community to make the community better. So, I mean, I think the golf courses, if they break in, even we're ahead. That's my feeling.
Anyone else? Jim, is there anything else that you want to say?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
35 years.
Further discussion? Yes, John?
Friday's the last day you can do the fish fry at Pedophine Springs. And if anybody hasn't done it, they should do it. It's excellent.
I get an email every week.
You get your emails, boy.
Jim's one of your best.
Great event.
Get out there and get that fish fry.
All right, that's tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow's the last day.
Bring your own
bottle. BYO.
Yeah, I don't care about beers.
BYOP.
Yeah.
So we did the 60s.
All right. Any other discussion or anything else for Green Wall for you? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Highway,
page 5. This is a little bit bigger department. From 2014 to 2015, there's an expense increase from $8.2 million up to $8.7 million, $560,000. Revenues will go up to match that. And the reason the expenses basically are going up is because the state has already notified us that they will be giving us about $2.8 million in 2015 compared to they're giving us in 2014 the $2,575,000 to help us pay for our local roads. In addition to that, they will also be contracting with us up to $3.2 million versus the $2.8 million that they're this year. And they've already told us that this is what they'll spend. So when they tell us that that's what they're going to give us, we plan on spending it. And at the end of the day, there's going to be a reduction in the levy in the highway department of $213,000. So even though the expenses are going up, the revenues are going up, the work is going up, and the levy will go down.
So part of that is they're going to, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Part of that is they're going to give us money to repair state highways, right?
Yeah, that's in the capital part, which highway, there's so many capital projects, they're actually on the next page, but yes. So there's a description of a lot of these accounts that are, and basically most of them are just going up because we have to spend more money because we're going to be doing more work. And whatever we spend, we just bill back or a lot of it goes back to the state. There's also a sundry revenue there, which is going from $550,000 to $750,000. That's the work that the highway department does for local municipalities, and the $550,000 that we budget for this year, we will be over $700,000. So we will, next year's number will be in a similar stratosphere to what it is this year. So we'll see an increase there also. So I don't know if you want to know a whole lot of detail,
sure.
But all those expenses.
I think Rick Judge had a comment or question.
Back a few years ago, we purchased a lot of land with a lot of concrete and blacktop, which was, we were told at that time, was had a lot of value for future paving. Have we used any of that yet?
Gary can probably answer better. The majority of the asphalt that's there hasn't been touched, but with one of our future projects, the Highway Path project, which is within a quarter mile of that pile of asphalt, that's where the majority of that's going to be used.
The Highway Up project will be in the capital portion of this project. And that's the project that will use the excess materials at the KD project.
Okay, thank you.
Is there some other, Jeff?
I see that there's no other FTEs increased here. There's a deputy director. Overtime and vacation is based on actual spending. Where are we as far as our competitive wages? I know that that's been discussed, you know, over the years, and I wonder if any of this is going to maybe making our wage structure a little more robust so that we can attract and retain these employees. Bob, you want to talk about that, please?
I'll be happy to answer that. County is in the process of analyzing the classification and compensation level for three primary groups of employees. They are the non reps, essentially the management, the salaried employees, the highway division, and the clerical employees. And what is going on now and what will eventually happen is we will have a local comparison, private and public sector employees, of what it would take for us to be competitive in March. And it is upon that information that we will be making recommendations on any changes in wages from what they are today.
When will that be forthcoming?
Like I said, we're in the process. I would say sometime next year.
Okay, thank you.
Bob, maybe I'm misreading the comments of both you and Jeff, but you're not saying that we're not competitive.
No, I'm saying we're going to find out if we are competitive.
Oh, okay.
If we're too high, if we're too low. We are integrating information on our benefit package and merging that together. This is going to be a comprehensive snapshot of what our compensation, wage, and benefit package, total compensation looks like compared to other folks with who have similar type jobs. And so I'm not here tonight to suggest we're up or down.
All right.
I'm just saying that we are engaging in the same kind of process that Dave and Al discussed yesterday, that we will be going forward with the corrections officers.
Right.
We are engaged with now and with those other three groups of employees.
Right.
We need to know where we're at.
Right.
Maybe the question ought to be, are you retaining the people once you hire them? Because I know you hire them, you got a two-tier system, right? You got some people starting at what? What's the starting rate?
16.33.
Okay, and then you got some people doing the same thing, making $23, $24, and I'm sure
there was a budget time last year where we had a discussion about recruiting our...
Yeah, right.
Made an adjustment at that time, and that seems to help.
They're what?
The board made help.
I know we did.
An adjustment at that time.
So
that
we're not losing anybody at this time, then?
No, we are losing people.
You're losing them?
Yes. We're losing them to other municipalities and to the private sector.
And it's going to get worse because as the economy is picking up, and it is picking up.
Or potentially a major building project like a casino is something we have to keep in mind.
I think so.
That's why we're doing it. That's why the process is on.
I mean, you did one good job on was it H there where you put that blacktop in? Well, that was done.
You mean right by Highway 15?
I don't know who it was, but you guys did that so fast that it was I mean, I was driving out and they weren't, the lines weren't down yet. Hell of a job on that one. Thank you.
Highway Department did that.
Good job. Why don't you contract with the city? Maybe you can contract with the city and make some of our roads in here, right? Like 60th Street,
39th
Avenue, you know?
It's still 13 miles you do a year?
Yes.
As compared to the city does?
Oh boy, what did they do?
They contract those summers that don't get paid.
All right, anything else, Aaron?
Where's 60th Street up to between Indian Trail and Highway 8? Where's that at?
That's in our transportation improvement program, but it's in the... We have a specific program from 0 to 5 years out, and we have a program from 5 to 10 years out, and that section is in the 5 to 10 year program.
Did that get pushed back? Looking at it? Okay. Okay. Any reasons?
Just priority on some of the other roads based on development and increased traffic volumes. Highway S became a priority with a significant increase in traffic volume, particularly trucks. So it just became a priority and shift project.
Jeff?
How are we doing on the road mileage this year? Terry said 13. Are we going to hit our 13 for this?
Yes. Oh. Yes, we're at 13 this year. We'll projecting exactly 13 next year.
Okay, thank you.
Gary, would you care to comment on Pleasant Prairie we talked about a little bit? Or is it not in the budget thing or this project you talked about on 39th Avenue?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something you could talk about?
Well, sure. There's a project on 39th Avenue. It's basically south of or north of Highway 165 and through an area of development that they refer to as Village Green. It's 39th Avenue at that location is coming from Highway EZ. The Village of Pleasant Prairie is going to reconstruct that segment of highway from two-lane rural highway to a two-lane urban road, and they're doing that at their own expense, even though it is a county-run highway.
You don't have to maintain it then?
We will maintain the travel lanes, any amenities beyond that, such as sidewalks, streetlights, that type of thing, the village would maintain.
Thank you. Yes, Rick.
Got a line item on your other roadway supplies. Going from $150,000 to
$275,000,
is that salt?
That's gravel. Our Wilmont pit, where we had traditionally crushed material from the pit and used as our road gravel, is spent. And we now will be purchasing, we'll put out the bid, pit products, and we will be purchasing that gravel rather than crushing it in our pit.
So where's the salt?
Your supplies, I would assume.
There's a line that's around $450,000. I can't remember the exact number. It's right in the neighborhood of that account. Yeah.
Cost maintenance?
About 450. I just forget the title. Okay. And it doesn't say salt. The chart of accounts has it with a slightly different, has a different name on it.
Sure.
Yes, Dad.
It's a 5-4
article. Go ahead. Doug, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm at River Road, the Bain Station Road, Mobile. That's that I would assume certain connect path that ends at the three-way construction that was, and then Pleasant Prairie put in a multi-use path through the sewer B line over from Highway C over to Reflex. Is that going to then connect that all up?
Yes, that's going to fill that gap between those two, the exact two points you described.
correct.
That would be really great. Now, what's it going to be, gravel like Pleasant Prairie did, or is it going to be blacktop?
10-foot asphalt, 10-foot wide asphalt path.
Through people's yards? Or
it's yet to be determined which side, whichever side would be least disruptive, and then it will require a bridge over the Des Plaines River, so we have to see whichever has the least environmental impact.
Well, then you're not going to be doing it this in 2015.
Just the engineering, that's just in 2015.
Thank you.
And the salt, did you want to know what line that was in?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It's under inventory construction maintenance.
Yeah. It went down?
Budget?
$780,000 to $445,000
This year we have to.
I thought it would go up.
Well, we'll replace everything this year, and we'll go into the year with a 2-year supply. This year is really been a lot of spending because we used everything we had, then bought more and used it. Plus, we've got to build back up. So the big expense is in 2014.
Okay.
Instead of 2015.
Okay.
2014 budget was here. 2014 actual spending is here. 2015 budget is back down.
Al, did you have something?
I think he also referred, we carry over money from 13 to 14 because we were low on salt. If you recall, when we did the carryover resolution.
All right, is there anything else on highways to be discussed, or does someone
move to approve?
Second. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And finally, facilities, the last one.
Yeah, facilities, this is a combination of really three different areas. There's the Civic Center area, which is, I should probably tell you what the other two are first. One is the Job Center building, which all that facilities-related expenses, utilities, custodians, whatever, is all added together, and we figure out a charge that goes out to everybody who uses the services for that building. So that's one part of it. Another part of it is the public safety building, which we accumulate, again, utilities, supplies, maintenance, custodial expenses, and we cross-charge a chunk of that back to the city, either joint services or the police department. And then the other remaining part is every other building that the county owns. It includes everything on this campus down here with the courthouse, this building. It includes KCDC. It includes the county center. And that's the third. That all gets added together here and put into this department. So from 2014 to 2015, the total spending of expenses will go from 4269 to 4274. And you see contracted services going down and supplies going up. And for 2014, for contracted services, we had planned to do some studies, a lot of money, and to do some studies of our various buildings to see if what we needed to replace equipment, to find out if they were efficient in the use of utilities. Well, we're not going to have to spend that money because some people in the department figured out a way between We Energies and some other people basically to have these things done for next to nothing, these studies, which we thought we'd spend $60,000 on. We've completed one study of the jail, KCDC, and we're going to do two other buildings this year. We'll do the public safety building and KCC. And we won't have to spend anything on those. So we'll see a decrease in expenses in this area. That's the good news. Bad news is that in the supplies area, we are spending a lot more money because things are breaking down. So there's a flip-flop just in category, but what we are having an increase in spending on actually fixing things. We've had three or four big expenditures for HVAC equipment that's broken down. We had to do some landscaping on here. There's been a dozen things that we didn't count on, so we're overspending there. At the end of the day, and there's no headcount increase here either. It's the same people, the same number of people. So the expenses will be about flat. As far as the revenue side goes, parking structure revenues, we had budgeted $25,000 for this year. We're it's we're not quite getting that, but we used to get $6,000 before we put the controls in on the parking structure here. So it's been a plus situation for us to collect revenues. Traffic fines, we're estimating, will be down a little bit. We're not, I don't think we'll hit that 320 this year. The levy is up a little bit. And then the amount that we'll be charging for the public safety building to joint services will be down down slightly, $8,000. So this area, there's a $35,000 increase in the levy. It's the only department out of Public Works where there is an increase in the levy. Page 8 is the projects. For the, I don't want to go by this if anybody has any questions. Page 8 is all the various projects for the Civic Center, the Public Safety Building, Human Services Division, and then capital projects. I'll just let you sit there and look at them if you haven't pulled already.
Why don't you explain Civic Center million two acquisition?
Al would be happy to explain that.
You will?
Can we get to the man? That was a Bernie and I are going delegation to address that issue.
April's got a map.
Yeah.
I'm going to come and help her.
All right.
This is good.
The basic plan calls for acquiring two buildings, which is, or two three parcels actually, and two existing buildings, which would be 4A, 4B, and 5, eliminating the, removing the unemployment building and paving that as part of the parking lot for this building. And also, the county owns the Sinani Sheet Metal Building, which is 1A. And 1B, and removing that building and creating a parking lot there. But I'll let Bernie first off talk about the acquisition of the properties, and then we can discuss the overall cost of the project.
No wonder he's here.
Good evening. On the blue highlighted properties are the ones that we were made an offer on and accepted after a number of counter offers. Our negotiations went for about a month. And number 5 is 1100 56th Street, and number 4A and 4B is 1108 56th Street. Currently occupied by a number of lawyers, the senior partners of these owners are reaching retirement age, so they've put the property on the market. The proximity of the land and buildings is why it's of great value to Kenosha County to control its destiny in the future. It's one of those situations where opportunity comes up and we've acted on it to try to put Kenosha County in control of its future and not become landlocked. The properties between the Kenosha Administration Building and our parking lot and our unemployment office are privately held. Number 6 was the Plouse Law Office, which was sold to, we missed that opportunity, that was sold to a family who was using it just as rental property. They in turn transferred ownership to their children, so now it's a multi-party ownership. And we don't have any negotiations or anything going on with them. The 8A and 8B are the Fischotti building and lot next to it. We made an inquiry. We didn't get very far with that property. That is contiguous to the Kenosha County property. These blue ones are across the street from the public safety building.
And what are you proposing to pay for each one?
Well, I included in the information packet the prices. And the price, I put the assessed value in all the prices, but the accepted price after...
we don't have an information packet.
Here we do.
Oh, here.
All right. Oh, that was that one.
Okay. Is it 221 for all three? Because that's going to be his next question.
No, no, there's two offers. The 4A and 4B are one offer, and 5 is a separate offer. The 5, the assessed value is 245. It was listed for 299, and the accepted counter offers is 267.5, and that's for building 5. That's a 3,000 square foot building with tenants, and it has a lot of storage space in the basement. The second property is a combination of 4A and 4B, and there's a price list on that as well. I'm sorry if you didn't see this beforehand. I think it went out with the materials, though. So for the 1108 property, the asking price was $399. The assessment for this year was $320 for both of them, and the accepted offer, the counter offer, was $355. The need for space for the downtown campus continues to grow. There's letters of support from the current chief judge of Kenosha County, indicating that the case studies at the courthouse and the Kenosha County court system would justify 11 courts. We have 8 courts currently. The state court system has not approved an additional court, but in the future they will approve it, and the courthouse would have to try to accommodate those courtrooms by expanding in one way or another. Racine has 10 courts, and Kenosha County has 8 circuit courts in a comparative equal population. The assessment history and equalized value history is included in the packet, and that shows that we're on the start of an upward rise in equalized value. So we find ourselves in a good time in history for buying real estate. Since 2008, the values went down, 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 and now they're on the upswing, and finally in 2014, the equalized values are starting to climb for Kenosha County, and that includes these properties. The offer to purchase and the acceptance includes a lease back to the current lawyers that are selling, and in the offers, in both offers, the lawyers would vacate building number 5 at 1100, and they would move and rent from us building 4A. And the amounts of the rent for a period of 2 years while we make other plans are a total of $3,530 a month plus utilities. The both buildings have ample basement dry storage for a huge amount of files that the county is required to keep for a period of years, varying from 7 years to in the clerk of circuit court's case, 100 years. But most of the different departments have to keep our records about 7 years. And it includes the storage racks for storing banker boxes full of such files. There's there's a savings because these properties are both offered to the public of relocation costs. If we put this off, we don't buy the properties today, but we decided we need property in the future, and we wanted to buy these properties, we wanted to condemn the property and buy these properties, there is a relocation cost that are associated with condemnation.
Big time.
And the condemnation costs for this, because there's so many lawyer tenants, I have spelled out in a sheet dated October 9th, memo to the Finance Committee and the Public Works Committee, itemizing those aspects of relocation costs that a government body exercising eminent domain has to pay. That adds up to, in this case, at the current tenancy rate, $225,000. They would have to prove that before jury commissioners, land commissioners, but that would be the maximum. And then if our offer was, as in relocation law, if our offer was, say, X, and they got 15% more as proven in front of this panel of condemnation commissioners, and that then the county or the person condemning will have to pay actual attorney fees. So that can add up quite high. So I figure by buying these when they're offered on the open market, we're saving about $250,000 in relocation costs. This echoes some of the wisdom of the county board in purchasing this building and purchasing other surrounding buildings. When they bought the land for the public safety building and the adjacent row houses nearby, all of which aimed for the future and aimed for giving Kenosha County some elbow room, some growing room in the Southtown campus. I think I'll just stop and answer questions.
All right, questions or comments here?
I have a comment.
Yes.
What you're talking about, relocation costs. Years ago when we built the safety building, when we first built it, quite frankly, if we hadn't gone across the street and brought those three houses, there wouldn't be a parking lot for the safety building right now. And we had an opportunity. We bought all the way down to where the parking ramp is, but we didn't have enough money, or we thought we didn't have enough money to go. And that's how you got the apartment complex, mm-hmm. but on 52nd. And then in here, the houses, we could have got the church. They wouldn't have put that power station there. Probably we would have had all that property. So anytime you can get property, like, they want to sell it without any relocation cost to grab it. And I would suggest that you continue to have a dialogue with the other ones that have rental property on there right now. If they ever become available, let them know that we might be interested in buying. Because if you don't buy it, when it's empty, you're going to spend a whole lot of money. And if we had the foresight of 25 years ago when we did that, we would have a whole lot of land around here right now. So this is a great idea. Absolute great idea.
Further discussion? Perhaps you could inform the committee how the county acquired the Zanani property across the street.
Oh, the property that the chairman is mentioning is green on the color diagram there, 1B and 1A. And that's indicated as laid out for a parking lot there. But it's a tax deed property where the owners fail to pay their property taxes, and the treasurer, in enforcement of the tax deed process, was able to acquire title to that land nearby.
Nice.
They're the same people. They own the Elks Club too.
The tenant in the building that has the 12-foot big hole in it, in the roof, the tenant is related to the people that own the Elks Club. I mean the Heritage House. But not the owner of the Zanani property. And so he was cooperative. He moved out voluntarily we gave him a little time,
He says with a smirk.
Move to approve.
Second. Who's second? All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That concludes the evening's
Thank you very much. Agenda, and we will resume on Monday at the designated time of, again, 6 o'clock, and there will be changed. All right, very good.
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
We are still adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can leave your materials on the desk.
Until Monday?
Because, you know, as